Vanachten, asbefaid am curfacheru, the seclair short at emnesit shakle. She Fiona McCardle Mish. I'm Fiona McCardle, and I'd like to welcome you to this programme, Shakle. In Shakle this time, on Shakle and Cute Show, Tolu Vice Stephen Miller, RBV. More from Stephen Miller about his research into the island's rich folklore, particularly about how it can be seen down to the individual level. As Failure Chioli Vannon, the Manx Music Festival, The Guild, which starts this coming Saturday. We hear from Press and PR Officer and 6th Manx Bard, Zoe Cannell. Tomorrow evening, Friday the 24th of April, there will be an illustrated talk by David Martin for the Isle of Man Victorian Society. David Martin's talk is called Thomas Burndred and Robert Teer, and it's based on the journal of his great-great-great-grandfather, Thomas Burndred, and Thomas's son-in-law, Robert Teer. Thomas Burndred was a Methodist preacher from the Potteries, but he and some friends broke away from the Wesleyans to form the Society of Primitive Methodists. It was on behalf of the Primitive Methodists that Thomas Burndred came on a missionary visit to the Isle of Man in about 1829 or 30, and he settled in the island in 1847. His son-in-law, Robert Teer, was a merchant, philanthropist, preacher and a member of the House of Keys, and he promoted his father-in-law's work for the Primitive Methodists, whose chapels can be found all over the island. David Martin will be giving that presentation at 7:30 tomorrow evening, Friday the 24th of April, in St Andrew's Church, Glen Crutchery Road, Douglas. There's parking on site, and the doors will open from 7 o'clock for that 7:30 start. It's organised by the Isle of Man Victorian Society, and it's free to members of the Society, but non-members are very welcome, with admission of £4. There'll be light refreshments following the talk, David Martin talking about Thomas Burndred and Robert Teer. Derek Husbeg de Vlinten ed henne, was slice munilten de rauen hood smooge en ober ons chimsica kjol en elion, jind lurische fair lee juin a craig, ons ne blintens cherry jane nyu lit keed blain jeg. Ve de sugar carnaltris chimsica caren de arenen, the smoon a foglan joe. Vos altenen e lochtai. As tannis kroonen ega jichen duen, de renni chimsica karen, vos en boy dol, Tom Kermod j brada. Henken ei de rau kleg en dunje, va chimsica en hood smoo, Jane Kjol, vos Philip Wilby Kane, va govracha peveren nayacht. Ve kierreel, nyes klaumach tulju karvelen, ach harenneru genuschen. Renni klau lior de vardacht, Red screw a foglin syet erd enem j caren hure on stride a low screwnen emnesit the Clegg collection, tara agen on sliorlach and tight ashti. Nye erden a leen shen, ta slying eden mach de raumuren j oberchimsey j caren, jint liorish William Henry Gill, W. H. Gill, tre henke gusanelian, voshe ober on slunnen. After attending King William's College, W.H. Gill worked in London at the headquarters of the GPO. It was during that time that he undertook the work which led to the publication in 1896 of Manx National Songs and the lesser-known collection of tunes in 1898, Manx National Music. He lived for a while in Abingdon, then in Berkshire but now in Oxfordshire, before moving to just north of the seaside town of Worthing in West Sussex. He was the church organist and choirmaster in St Margaret's Church in the village of Angmering, and his house stood just outside Angmering and was called the White House. The work of W. H. Gill and his brother J. F. Gill in arranging and holding sessions in various locations around the island, where people came to sing songs for them to collect, is one of the topics on which Stephen Miller, RBV, has done a lot of work researching the available evidence and chronicling the dates of the sessions and who attended. However, one of the difficulties of research is finding what evidence there is.
In the case of Gill, we know that the papers were in his hands when he was in the White House. Mm. And we know that he tried, he asked Sophia Morrison if she would curate his papers,
right.
which she didn't do so, because I think towards the end of her life, her health was not of the best. So I think she thought that she was not going to. And also, it's, to be honest, it's never very good to get people who are almost your age to curate your own papers. You really need a generation below you, because there's still years left in them to deal with your particular material. So, of course, Sophia Morrison dies 1917. He dies 1923. It's remarkable that Gill outlives all of them. Mm. He outlives all of those Victorian collectors, and then Morrison herself, who emerges almost in the Edwardian period, not in the Victorian period. She emerges there. But and when you read Gill's letters, he knows that he has to do something with his papers, and he's talking about giving them to the British Library. He's talking about giving them to Worthing Public Library. Talking about. Doesn't do anything, and I rather suspect it's left to his daughters. And we don't know the attitude of his daughters. They may well have thought, God, not more Manx folks, he's been going on about this for years. Or else the attitude may well be, well, he's published, you know, they've published Manx national songs, they published Manx national music, what's the value in these particular papers? I think it's only in recent years perhaps that we've come to really value that we want to see what goes into Manx national songs, what goes into Manx national music. Not that, well, this is just ancillary material. Surely no one would be of interest in that. Plus, too, his daughters moved. They sold the White House and they moved to East Preston. So there was a house move. And you know that's always when the stuff disappears, when there's a house move. Yeah. They don't move with everything. And we know that Gill was collecting with his brother and with Clegg in the 1890s, but we know from letters that he came back to the island and was collecting again. We certainly know that he was collecting from Elizabeth Crane and her daughter, who's also equally Elizabeth Crane, at Coolbeng, because you have Sophia Morrison's letter there, where she goes round to collect from them to realise that they'd already been visited by Gill, but not visited by Gill in the 1890s when he was collecting with his brother. Mm. So you start thinking, well, where's that material gone to?
You've given talks in international forums, as well as here in the island, about Edward Farragher of Craignish, Neddy Beg Homrai, as he's widely known, and Carl Roeder, who was a Manchester businessman. So what sort of archives and material are available concerning those two?
There's amazing material. There are letters between Farragher and Roeder, and there are also notebooks. They are just absolutely remarkable. You realise you have someone here in Craignish in the 1890s who is collecting folklore. I wouldn't say he's collecting folklore on behalf of Roeder. I'd like to think of them almost as collaborators. I don't think there's an... often there's always been this notion, as you know, the whole dispute around Cecil Sharp and whether he's actually exploiting the singers, whether he's simply turning up, collecting their tunes, publishing them, making money off them, so on. And this is, but yeah, I think you can certainly see that between Farragher and Roeder, there's a clear friendship develops between them. And you see Roeder is sending Farragher money orders, he's sending him books, he's sending him tobacco, he also sends him a pipe when his pipe breaks. And so I don't think there's an exploitive in the sense of quid pro quo, I've done this for you so you should do this for me. I think it's simply done through friendship. And he sends Farragher notebooks. And Farragher goes out and fills the notebooks. And he's not just filling them from Craignish. He has friends in Glenchass. He also goes up to Serby as well. And so he's collecting over the south of the island. We don't know, as ever, here we go, the usual. We don't know how many notebooks he compiled. We don't know how many notebooks have been lost. Because Roeder's material was lost. There's the time he went into a sanitarium, it seems, but he certainly warehoused his papers at one particular time. And then when he came out of the sanitarium, they couldn't find his papers. So material of his has been lost. But we also know that material was also kept by his sister. Because Sophia Morrison, when she was in Manchester, one of her brothers was a doctor there, and she was the housekeeper. And so she goes round to see Rhoda's sister, and she gets what's called a fat bundle of scraps. And this seems to be the Farragut material. I rather suspect that Rhoda held that material back because he deposited material at what was then Manchester City Library, or Manchester Central Library, the name has changed. She was a bit perturbed too. She went along to see the collection, to see that some of her letters had been pasted into Rhoda's scrapbook that was there for all to see. And she, I think she writes something along the lines that Mr. Rhoda Carr has done a mean trick on me. but the material was handed, and I think this is when you can see this material then gets distributed, because when you could look at who the material in the Manx Museum Library was accessed from, when you look at Rhoda's letters, they don't come in from Morrison. Well, because they couldn't from Morrison at the time, but they don't come in through Louisa Morrison. You see that they come in from J.J. Neen. You see that they come in from Edward Goodwin and so on. So this material has circulated amongst them, almost like here's some letters from Farragut. And also there is material copied by Edwin Goodwin that no longer exists. The sketch of Craig Nish that prefaces Aesop's Fables, there is a much, much, much longer version of that. That is only available through a transcript made by Edwin Goodwin. So the original of that has been lost. And so you wonder, again, here we go again, you wonder then how many other items. You always have to try and tease out how many other items then that the Goodwin had that either he copied and the transcripts have been lost, or other stuff that passed out to people who we don't know it went out to may well still be sitting there in the back of someone's drawer or something like that one, or in a suitcase in the attic, or may well just simply have been lost.
Stephen Miller, God of my Morad, thank you very much indeed.
Stephen Miller, RBV, and more about his work of researching the folklore and folk life of the island, particularly concerning W.H. Gill and Edward Farragut and Carl Rhoda. De Blaen na Gilge, ta rang on sfeilia chiol I vanin, son arren no on skilk, leorish paiach eniach, gus tri blaen jeg gons na skolin, shen hoch blin jeg da eish. Ta rangan on yes son coran gilgach, as rangan son goila ren on skilk, de gillian as ninen ons na bonskolin, erdskolin as da sly eset. De perchen ons bonskolin as erdskolin, ta rangan on son arlort pager a chan. Och ta first rang on da sly ta shejeg as na smoo, son laimach as a bible. Ta rangan elle on de laimach stu gilgach coemsherach. As rang forsat elle, da sly ta araltach laimach stu nach villade nagan roi, as guntred erlache. Hamas shen, ta rangan on son rudniach no, bardach, na pros, kindachrish ulion na rangan shen, be gilt the lure a chlashen melina. The Manx Music, Speech and Dance Festival was founded in 1892 and remains a popular Manx institution known widely as the Guild. The press and PR officer from the festival is Zoe Cannell.
It starts on Saturday. That's Saturday the 25th, this Saturday. It's very exciting. We've got a full eight days of competition until Saturday the 2nd of May. It's three venues, not all running at the same time, but two venues will be running pretty much for the whole 8 days. And then we also use St. Thomas's Church as well as the Villa Marina. The Villa Marina is the main home of the Guild.
And of course there are the old favourites, particularly including of course the Cleveland Medal Test and the Sheffield Plate. But there are always new things coming into the Guild, so what's new this year?
I think probably the most exciting thing of all will be the Eurovision Song Contest class, which is marking the 70th year of the Eurovision. It was inaugurated in 1956. So Madeline Kelly actually came up with the idea. So many ideas just start on social media or people chatting amongst themselves. And it took off. and it's going to be a great night in the Royal Hall, exciting, and I don't know whether people will be wearing costumes, entering into the spirit of it. Some of the Eurovision traditions might be brought along, we're not sure yet. That's new. It's going to be a one-off. I'm sure if it is a success, it could be done again in future years. Also, which will appeal to you, Manx classes, always on the rise. Lord's Prayer in Manx, original composition in Manx. They're two classes that appeal to those that are learning the language. And also, very kindly, Keith Grouch has given a trophy for a Manx national songbook class. So that's been very popular as well. I think most people are familiar with the Manx National Songbook, and it's got a great variety of fun songs. So we're looking forward to seeing what people bring to that.
The festival has always presented a great width of music, great breadth of music, and in recent years you've introduced pop music classes. So how are they going this year?
Oh, very well indeed. The Guild caters for everything from classical right through to pop, 1980 and above, and they're certainly very well attended, well supported classes. I would say that overall it's the musicals which people love to enter and attend, and there's, I think it's four classes now of that. So there's so much, all age ranges, something for everyone, and a lot of the pieces I don't even know these days. I'm not with it with the modern musicals, so it's a good chance for me to watch and listen and then just see what's up and coming in the West End and Broadway, and all the young people, they know the modern musicals, they're bringing something fresh and vibrant to the Guild.
And so people will want to go along and support friends and family. So how do they get tickets for it?
I'd say at this stage that the best place to get them is at the Villa Marina. There are whole day tickets, £6. And that's incredible value, really, because you can come along. Most classes are starting at 9, 9:15 in the morning, and you can stay till the end for £6. I doubt there's anywhere else you get that level of high-class entertainment for £6. And if you do want to have a ticket for the whole festival, that's £35. So that will see you through the whole 8 days. One thing I would like to say is that for under-18s, it's free admission at all times.
Oh, very good. For yourself as the sixth Manx Bard, there are also classes in the Guild for not just musical composition, but written composition as well.
Yes, there's been four classes for juniors, for adults. You can write in Manx Gaelic or in English. The rough theme is usually pertaining to the Isle of Man, so that gives a great scope for people to use their imagination, either to write in prose or poetry. And the entries have been quite steady on that, but we're always looking for new talent. If next year people want to showcase their written work, we just ask that they come along, ask somebody else or themselves, just give us an excerpt of it so that the audience can see what it's all about. But it mostly is done on the written piece rather than the presentation.
Now, I'll put you on the spot. You mentioned about the musicals and how you enjoy that, but what would you say was your favourite part of the Guild?
Oh, definitely the atmosphere and being with friends and mixing with people, getting to know new people. That's what brings it alive. I actually feel now I've got a bit of a nervous tummy about it all, but also I know that when I get there and I see people milling around the Villa Marina, and it holds such memories for so many people on the Isle of Man, even if they're not involved now, they remember, you know, going down to the villa, running around on the grass, playing, maybe getting an ice cream. For me personally, it's the whole experience, the whole unique tradition of now 134 years people have been doing this, and it's just got a certain charm that I hope will always be there.
Zoe Cannell, thank you very much indeed. Goramai Morad.
Goramai.
Zoe Cannell, the press and PR officer of the Manx Music, Speech and Dance Festival, The Guild, which opens this coming Saturday morning, the 25th of April, and runs through to the following Saturday, the 2nd of May.
As Zoe mentioned, there are three venues this year, and as usual the main ones are the Royal Hall of the Villa Marina and downstairs in the Promenade Suite. The third venue is the nearby St Thomas's Church, where there'll be some classes on Sunday afternoon, and then on Sunday evening the classes for playing the church organ. Other classes will be held in St Thomas's on Tuesday evening and on Thursday morning. The very first class in the Guild this year at 9:15 this Saturday morning, the 25th of April, will be for Manx folk dancing for primary age children. And there are country dance classes, including Manx folk dancing, for primary and secondary schools, and also open folk dance classes. The group which earns the highest marks in any of those classes is also awarded the Leighton Stoll Cup. Leighton Stoll, Philip Leighton Stoll, a great name in Manx folk dancing, who worked with Mona Douglas to give form to her notes, and that was with the children of Albert Road School in Ramsey, in order to surprise members of the English Folk Dance Society when they held one of their vacation schools in Douglas at Easter time in April of 1930. Many of the members of the English Folk Dance Society were teachers. There'd been a Manx branch of the English Folk Dance Society founded in Douglas in 1928, and for the Easter Vacation School in 1930, more than 150 members arrived in the island to take part. The Ramsey Courier tells us that, on Monday, and that would have been the 21st of April, 1930, on Monday, Miss Mona Douglas thrilled a large audience with a lecture on Manx folk songs and dances. She herself sang some songs, the most effective of which, perhaps, was one formerly sung by the women to help them when grinding their corn. Some Ramsey girls and boys gave further illustrations, and their song mocking a crybaby was so full of meaning, though sung in Manx, that it was encored. Mr. Leighton Stoll and the boys and girls of Albert Road School danced a Manx country dance and an intricate stick dance. Most wonderful of all was a dirk dance of the Sea Kings of Man, performed to a haunting tune by Billy Kane. That's a recording of the Manx dirk dance Riach and the Vanning from 1944 by the BBC Scottish Orchestra, conducted by Guy Warwick, and they were playing Arnold Foster's arrangement of the tune, though too fast for dancing to. In fact, in 1932, the Manx dancers were again invited by Douglas Kennedy to take part in an event at the Royal Albert Hall in London, and Billy Kane, by this time about 14 years of age, was to dance the Manx dirk dance to that arrangement by Arnold Foster, as it was being played by an orchestra that evening. But, like that recording, the orchestra started at a fast pace. However, despite his young age and despite the setting, Billy Kane asked the conductor to stop and to start again at a slower pace, which they duly did. Invitations to the Manx dancers to appear at the Royal Albert Hall came after they'd taken part in that historic occasion in Douglas, 96 years ago, on the 21st of April, 1930, when Leighton Stoll was involved in that early demonstration of Manx folk dances. And the Leighton Stoll Cup will be one of the first trophies to be presented at this year's Manx Festival of Music, Speech and Dance, the Guild. Look out for the bright green programme with a full list of classes, all the people who'll be taking part, and what they'll be performing in those classes. The programme costs £6. Zoe mentioned the whole festival ticket for £35, but if you're buying two whole festival tickets at the same time, for yourself and a partner or friend, the second one is only £25.
And for under-18s, as Zoe said, admission is free at all times. So that's the Manx Festival of Music, Speech and Dance, the Guild, starting this Saturday, the 25th of April, and running through to the following Saturday, the 2nd of May. As well as the opening of the Guild, this Saturday, the 25th of April, also sees the opening of an exhibition in the Manx Museum in Douglas. As part of the celebrations of Bliain na Gaeilge, the Year of the Manx Language, Éire Chosúna Bhanning, Manx National Heritage, has worked jointly with Culture Bhanning in putting together an interactive exhibition called Mind Your Language. Working on Mind Your Language have been MNH curator Nicola Toombs and Culture Bhanning's granddaughter, the Manx Language Development Officer Ruth Kegan-Gell. The exhibition aims to demonstrate the richness, the history and the modern-day relevance of Manx, and to encourage people to explore and engage with the language. Mind Your Language is arranged around four main areas. What is Manx? Manx and nature. Manx and people. And Manx and place, with historical artefacts, artworks and audio-visual elements. The exhibition, Mind Your Language, opens at the Manx Museum in Douglas this coming Saturday, the 25th of April.
As Nish, Tashin Chitkus, Jera and Claire Shaw, as James Dryshaw, J. Shachler. In fact, that brings us to the end of this edition and this series of Shachler. And so now, from me, Ish Vaughan, Fiona McArdle, Slyn Liu.